Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Continue efforts to ensure that GM corn and glyphosate are removed from the food supply. We have got that story. Plus, I shot Darnell like a mobster. But first, happy 4th of July episode 560. Man, it built really, really quickly. The calls for him to step down over his mental decline, the massive governmental incompetence, and then, of course, just the poor polling getting louder by the day. James, I was saying to you how quickly this moved. I don't really think he can last in office much longer. And, of course, I'm talking about that. Hoser Trudeau, first Liberal MP, calls on Justin Trudeau to step down, grabbing it from Auntie Beeb, a backbench EP. James, I guess that means they're not a big important name. A backbench member of Parliament has become the first sitting member of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party caucus to call on him to resign after a disastrous by-election defeat. Wayne Long said new leadership was needed for the future of our party and for the good of our country in an email to fellow party members that, of course, was made available to Canadian media outlets. Mr. Long represents a riding in the province of New Brunswick. I don't know what that means, James. Wrote, the voters have spoken loud and clear, and they want change. And as it happens in politics, the pile-on happened, man, and many, many, many more folks joined in. There's a list of them in this article, which, again, we always include the notes to everything we link up to, so you can continue the research. Follows a catastrophic result for Liberals in a by-election last Monday when they lost a Toronto seat they've held for 31 years. The Prime Minister hasn't taken questions from reporters since the loss, if that sounds familiar. Mr. Trudeau has seen a significant drop in his popularity because of a host of issues, including cost of living pressures. A recent Ipsos poll for Global News suggested that as many as 68% of Canadians want Trudeau to step down. And it gets worse for Justin. Trudeau no longer going to Calgary Stampede, as some Liberal MPs call for his resignation, which, you know, is the master of disguise is really gutted about. He's going to put on his cowboy outfit. Oh, and also, the American president, Joe Biden, is in this same exact sinking boat. Of course, after his hilariously, awesomely, historically bad debate debacle, the rats now all suddenly admit what we've been saying for the last 4 years. The COVID vaccines don't work. Oh, wait. This guy's a decrepit monkey skeleton, man. Recently said by the special counsel investigating the Biden crime family's mishandling of government documents. And again, presidents, they have a certain leeway to monkey around with documents. It's one of the perks of their gig. Said by the special counsel, quote, we have also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with poor memory. End of quote. Special counsel worried jurors would see Biden as too senile to stand trial. And the latest I have, Biden vows to keep running as signs point to a rapidly eroding support for him on Capitol Hill. James, I hadn't realized how as above, so below these two situations were, man.
You know what? I think it's not just Canada and it's not just the U.S. This is actually part of a global phenomenon that's happening right now. So yes, on the Trudeau side of things, I mean, maybe this is just a reflection of the fact that I'm Albertan, but I've never known anyone who's really supported him. But I did, I mean, there was the sense, you know, a decade ago, Canada's hope and change, you know, all of that kind of nonsense. And I think a good portion of Canadians really did buy into that for some time. But now, nowadays, who on earth is defending Trudeau? No, he is about to be flushed one way or another. And it's a question of whether the Liberal Party will churn the leadership before the next selection, all of that kind of nonsense, you know. Great, wonderful. And so it's very likely that Trudeau will not be Prime Minister of Canada for very much longer. And it might even be Poilievre. Yay, okay, now new birdcage liner that the bird can start doing its defecation on. Yay. Yeah, of course, there will be the culture war issues and other political football issues that these political puppets are allowed to kick one way or another down the field. But the real issues, I mean, let's ask all the candidates, you know, about the Holocaust in Gaza and other such things and see how much difference there really is. But anyway, so no, I don't think this is fundamentally about Canada. It's not even about the U.S. I think It is a global phenomenon, as evidenced by the fact that this is the year of selections. There are, I believe, 64 different elections taking place in different countries this year, which represents half of the world's population going to the polls, which, as you know, I mean, look, I'm an anarchist. I don't believe in this selection nonsense and the hype surrounding it, but I think it is important in the sense that clearly these selection processes are used in a way to program the public. And what is the narrative of this selection cycle that's going on right now? Well, we can get that even from, I'll throw in a link to AP News, which has, a year of elections in democracies around the world is revealing deep dissatisfaction among voters, which points out that election after election, selection after selection, in country after country, the incumbents are being thrown out, as the throw the rascals out seems to be the rallying cry from South Korea to Poland to Argentina. The African National Congress in South Africa just lost its majority in parliament for the first time since the end of apartheid 30 years ago. In Latin America, there were apparently 20 selections in a row where the incumbent lost until the presidential selection in Mexico. So, I mean, there's a lot of upheaval going on. As we're recording this, France is freaking out about Le Pen, and the UK is going to the polls. There may even be some selection result by the time people wake up to watch this. So who knows? Who knows what this is about? Other than, I think, this smacks me? I don't think that's the word. Is that what we say in English? This strikes me in the same way as remember all those CEOs retiring and leaving and abandoning their ships right before the scandemic struck? So I don't know. There seems like there's a big change in the birdcage liner that may portend some sort of really catastrophic thing coming later this year. Stay tuned to find out, guys. But I think that's the value of these stories. It's not going to be about the fundamental direction of the ruling class and where the real rulers of society, the banksters and other scum, are taking humanity. It's about what this is saying in terms of the mindset of the public. And a lot of people are getting energized about throwing the bums out.
I heard a phrase recently called cooling out the mark. And it's essentially the same as the steam valve release. Man, the people are getting pissed. We should probably back off and let them throw them some wins. But it's just a cooling. You know, it's the Fauci getting grilled and all of that. Man, they're going to get him. Again, as though the agenda is going to change when they swap out the birdcage liner. James, we were talking a little bit before we started to roll. I still, even knowing all that we know now, get a little envious at times at how quickly in the parliamentary politics countries, how quickly a dude can get bounced. And again, I like to always just kind of read the media tea leaves, as it were, because you can tell there's a point of balance or a tipping point. I'm just like, you're done. There's no way you're going to be bounced. And you're exactly right. It's not just these two jerk stores of Biden and Trudeau. Oh, risky shoe snacks not doing well either. Sunak, Tory set to suffer total annihilation as final mega polls predict. Keir Starmer's Labour will romp to victory. And I must quote Morrissey again. I've been dreaming of a time when people are sick to death of Labour and Tories and spit upon the face of Oliver Cromwell. But basically, and there's articles about this, every gropey loser that tried to mack on Italian hottie Prime Minister Meloni a couple weeks ago at the G7 is a hated lame duck back home whose terms are about to die suddenly. But hey, at least one government in the North American Union seems to know what it's doing. James, our second story this week, Monsanto drops lawsuits against the Mexican government over their GM corn ban. Taking this from nationofchange.org, after a four-year legal battle, I didn't realize it had really been going on that long, two Mexican divisions of Monsanto, now subsidiaries of Bayer, announced they drop lawsuits against the Mexican government. Several lawsuits were initiated in response to President Obrador's 2020 presidential decree, which aimed to ban glyphosate and genetically modified corn for human consumption. The decision being hailed as a triumph for life, health, and food sovereignty by the National Council of Humanities, Sciences, and Technologies. This is the government agency, CONACYT, I think it might be pronounced. I might be mangling that. The legal battle brought forth by Bayer included more than 30 judicial protective order suits, which, again, that's what they do. It's like, we tried to lawyer it to death. in an attempt to declare the decree unconstitutional, but the majority of the cases concluded with rulings unfavorable to the corporations involved after Conaseat provided scientific and legal defenses, presenting more than 250 pieces of evidence to support the decree. Conaseat replaced the 2020 decree, with a 2023 decree, which added even more restrictions. Bayer tried to suspend the 23 decree, but the four-year legal battle came to a shocking conclusion on June 25th when Monsanto subsidiaries Semillas e Agroproductos Monsanto and Monsanto Comercial ratified their withdrawal. Monsanto, owned by Bayer after the German company acquired Monsanto for $63 billion in 2018, produces the Roundup herbicide, glyphosate-based product used in the cultivation of GMO, such as Roundup Ready corn, cotton, and soybeans. While the lawsuits have been dropped against the Mexican government, Conaseat said it will continue its efforts to ensure that GM corn and glyphosate are removed from the Mexican food supply. James, the Mexico Daily News reported all of this. I was even surprised at this last sentence. I assumed you start to read it, it's like, but the Monsanto lawyers swear they're going to come back and back and back. But no, this is the folks saying, no, we're going to continue to push you out and out. We have a PDF from Congressional Research Service, the U.S.-Mexico genetically engineered corn dispute. And I have, James, I've gotten really not safe for public consumption in my last several years of working from home. I've gotten to the point just out the car windows like, cancer, you're spraying cancer at people because you can see them in the little branded jug with the spray thing. There is a related story version of this even. Glyphosate in Bulgaria is now banned for professional use. And you read through it, and we've done a little bit of this in some municipalities here in the States. The state's technocrats can continue to use it if they get their permission slips, which you're no longer allowed to have. The plebs can't have it. This is kind of interesting. That was my attempt to kind of, I'll poo-poo on your stories too, you guys, and call that not unmitigated good news, the Bulgaria part, but the Monsanto fail in Mexico, James, sounds like straight up good news next week.
Anything that puts the some sort of roadblock or impediment in the path of the gangsters that are attempting to take over the world food supply and replace it with genetically modified gunk, I'll take it in whatever form it's coming, at least for the time being, while people educate themselves on the topic and take steps to secure their own food supply. Not necessarily growing it yourself, but being aware of the network and community of interests around you that can help support you and to wean you off the industrial farming system. Having said all of that, yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is a lot more backbone and a lot more stick-to-itiveness than I would expect, especially from incredibly, the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico, the trading relationship, is incredibly important for Mexico. So them actually sticking to their guns on this, to whatever extent they have over the past few years, is impressive. I will say that I don't think people should take that article you were reading, I don't think they should take that summarization, at least at face value, about the 2023 decree, which overtook the 2020 decree. I'm no expert on this, and I haven't gone into the legal weeds of this, and I can't read Spanish, so I can't read it in the original. But I was looking over that Congressional Research Service report that you had linked up, and the way that they frame it is that the 2020 decree was actually a bit stronger, and blanket outright banned any genetically engineered corn for human consumption by January of 2024, i.e. several months ago. The 2023 decree that replaced it was specifically about GE corn for flour, for basically tortillas and what have you. And also, that's just kind of an amorphous, as far as I know, there's no set deadline on it anymore. So it seems like it's a kind of a weaker decree that they replaced it with. But again, that's after years of U.S. heavy Tom Vilsack and others putting heavy pressure on Mexico to step back. So again, the fact that they're sticking up at all is something. And I think at the very least, this should prompt people to start researching it for themselves. And I note with some interest that it was in 2018, as this new government was on the way in the door, which is just, as I said, that election just took place. So obviously this will be the outgoing president in October of this year. But as they were on the way in the door, they were employing like plant biologists and other people to head up their agricultural positions in their government. And these people were against plant biotechnologies and other Frankenfoods. So it just goes to show, what, I thought there was a scientific consensus. This stuff is good as mother's milk. No, no, there is no such consensus. So I think people should at the very least be using this as a teachable moment for others. Hey, look, look what Mexico's doing. Why do you think they're doing that? Maybe we should think about what we're putting in our own bodies, huh?
It's one of the few choices we actually have. And hopefully it's like day and night, the choices between which criminal you get the opportunity to vote for. Yeah, every 2 to 4 years. James, we move to our third and final story this week. Really interesting one. Again, I'm media monarchy. I'm always trying to find that angle in. Rapper BG ordered to have all future songs approved by the U.S. government. Grabbing this from The Guardian, a U.S. federal judge has refused prosecutors' request to prohibit the maker of 1990s rap classic Bling Bling from promoting and glorifying future gun violence murder in songs and at concerts while on supervised release from prison, saying such a restriction could violate his constitutional right to free speech. Don't stop my client from being able to sing his favorite famous songs that make him the most money at the concerts. But the artist, known as BG, must provide the government with copies. So they said, okay, we'll balk on that one for the moment. But the artist, known as BG, must provide the government with copies of any songs he writes moving forward, ahead of their production or promotion. And if they are deemed to be inconsistent with the goals of rehabilitation, prosecutors could move to toughen the terms dictating his supervised release. That mixed ruling came on Friday, last Friday, June 28th, from U.S. District Court Judge Susie Morgan. James, I swear, I love going down the rabbit holes of looking at just briefly, again, not even getting into the weeds, of checking out who these people are, the judges, the lawyers, the technocrats of the system. And you go to their Wikipedia page, oh, Susie Morgan, appointed by Obama in 2011 after the previous Clinton-appointed crook in Louisiana got impeached. She uses a bunch of different names like her appointer does as well. I'll include the link to her wiki. It's interesting. This all, the latest development, in a case that prompted discussions in some circles about an American musician's right to free expression under his country's constitution, as well as his need to financially support himself, with federal authorities' obligation to enforce the supervised prison release plan, which he accepted. Music industry giants, including Jay-Z, who stabbed a music producer, have condemned prosecutors' practice of using rap lyrics as evidence in U.S. criminal courts, saying it disproportionately targets capitalized black artists. But the prosecutors have generally not cared to halt the tactic, as the case of BG, Baby Gangsta, whose legal name is Christopher Dorsey, demonstrates. Dorsey fell under scrutiny. This all sounds silly, but it's fundamentally pretty frightening. Dorsey fell under scrutiny from federal probation officers after he performed a concert in Las Vegas, where he now lives, alongside fellow rapper Boosie, as he had also released an album with 2020 Grammy nominee Gucci Mane. The first time we've ever mentioned Gucci Mane on New World Next Week. People on supervised release are generally required to refrain from associating with those who have prior felony convictions, among other conditions, according to officials. Both Boosie and Gucci have prior felony convictions. Dorsey's lawyers, Larry Lawyerstein and Mickey DeMook, argued that preemptively ordering their client to avoid certain subject areas accounted to an unconstitutional prior restraint of free speech. As prosecutors asked, Judge Morgan also reiterated that Dorsey must not work with people previously convicted of felonies unless given permission to do so. You know, when the big felons ask you to come be on their shows. James, I swear, it's like this guy should have gone more mainstream corporate. Then he could shill for literally anything and everything, hang out with Martha Stewart and Oprah and have his thug cookbook sold in stores everywhere. I literally saw it the other day. It would be interesting, too, if this fell under the Son of Sam law. It was this kind of statute created in the wake of serial killer Son of Sam that says you can't profit off of your crimes. Now that is a whole other episode worth of discussion and deep dive. And James, you told me you watched it. You hadn't seen it before. The skit from Key and Peele, where a rapper named Gunrack gets arrested for murder based on all the evidence in his music, plus the photo of him with the corpse on the album cover. But he says that's just artistic license. That's just, I got a vivid imagination. It is a must-watch bit of comedy. It's probably not safe for work. So beware when you click that link. Generally, again, I think a lot of these dudes are probably corporate crap rappers. They're about as hood as Chris Rock and CB4, if you've ever seen that. Putting on the persona of this new popular thing. Former prison guard Rick Ross, famous rapper. He took CIA crack dealer Freeway Ricky Ross's name and likeness and sort of becomes a character. And I think these guys are about as hood as satanic metal bands are in scary costumes. It's usually a gimmick. But I think it's interesting how the lawfare state now is going to try and rein in what... They created this. These scary musics and violence and difficulties on the streets are a result generally of their own policies. Broken homes, abusive parents, destroyed economies, communities. And they were going to get all those backward masking lyrics and Aussie stuff. Again, I kind of wonder, Judas Priest never really told me, shot or get shot, dog. Anyway, wouldn't it be interesting if they did this to their movies and shows that are created by career criminals as well? Weinstein and Spacey must submit all future films to the state first. James, I could get down with that for a minute, at least just for the turnabout.
Yeah, okay. Well, James, like you, I'm no legal expert, and I haven't read the specific legal documents that have been filed in this case, so take whatever I'm about to say for what it's worth. But regarding the BG case in particular, I do not understand how such a thing could pass judicial review, because it is obviously prior constraint on free speech. It's not even an order that you can't say this specific thing. It's a, no, you must submit anything you're going to say to us for review, and then based on that, we might decide to do some nebulous and undefined thing to your parole terms. Like, that I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's going to stand up in court, but hey, what do I know, right? But on the conspiracy angle towards this, I guess I would say, as you say, I mean, the music is a response to the broken homes and families and devastation and all of these policies, but maybe it's chicken and egg, because the conspiracy angle, of course, that gangster rap and all of that was seeded into the industry as a way of seeding this into the public consciousness in the first place. So where did this really come from in the first place might be the bigger conspiracy, but here we are. And if this is allowed to stand, it seems like it would be a incredible move against First Amendment free speech in the U.S. anyway.
Other not rap biggies are mentioned in that article. Christina Aguilera, Coldplay, they've also come out in defense of this as well. So this is hardly just this is just those Louisiana Southern rap guys. James, there is a sad documentary called Dream Deceivers. And I forget its subtitle, but it is essentially about the court cases brought against Judas Priest, against these two kids that killed themselves. And the parents are in it, who openly admit, oh, well, yeah, they were abused kids, treated like crap in a bad situation. It's, again, it seems a really similar parallel to me that, again, we demonized all this music in the first place, and then we'll demonize all this music later. That's a whole other episode. So yeah, after we do that one extra special episode, we'll do a different special episode just about... I mean, again, let's beat around the bush. Bunch of people out in the audience right now are going, the Jews created gangster rap in a secret meeting we have no evidence of. But you look around today and you go, oh, Rick Rubin, Lior Cohen. I mean, why did Mos Def say some tall Israeli is running this rap stuff years ago and left America? There is definitely truth to this. Again, this is how stereotypes and all these things sort of start. There is definitely some nugget of truth. And hopefully we can get at some of those nuggets as we have attempted to do here for 560 episodes of New World Next Week. James, that's my verse on this North American Union July 4th special. NewWorldNextWeek.com, of course, is the source for Corbett Report DVDs and USBs. There's Media Monarchy shirts and hats and radio plays and music episodes. And all of that is just a way to help support our work that we've been doing fear-free and advertisement-free for, 30-plus years combined, James?
That's it. Happy hot dog and fireworks day to you and all the American viewers out there. Hope you have a restful weekend in some form and hopefully don't have to think about any of this crap, at least for a day or two. Having said that, we'll be back here documenting it all again in the near future. So stay tuned. Thanks, James.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks.